Welcome to the show. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney. We have James the Fat Man Stevens and Ryan Corpus Delecti Preston. And so far, the funniest thing I've heard, and horrible, depending on which way you look at it, it's a Business Insider article, talks about undercover author finds Amazon warehouse workers in the United Kingdom pee in bottles over fears of being punished for taking breaks.
So are they sending the bottles out?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because I can totally see it, you know, being like a bachelor pad. There's just bottles of urine stashed everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking. It's like my brother with his spit bottles.
And the only thing it didn't mention is how many men versus women that work there, because that was the one part of the article I'm wondering is, are there women doing it, or are they just like, well, you know, screw it, I'll be penalized, and are they using the she-we in a corner?
They do have that. I forgot about that. Like, yeah.
It's one of the weirdest stories that I've found in the last couple of weeks.
And where was this at?
This is in an Amazon warehouse in the UK, which, out of all countries, I do not expect the UK.
Yeah. Well, the UK is different countries.
No, really?
Well, I mean, I just
where
would,
are they?
I would assume.
Well, he said country as if it was England.
Well, the United Kingdom, I was just surprised that I would have always thought they would have been a little bit harder on companies.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's the UK, but I'd be slightly less surprised if you said it was Wales.
Well, let's just say I was expecting it to like be Bumsville, Idaho, instead of being in the UK. So it's in Staffordshire. Author James Bloodworth went undercover at the Amazon warehouse in Staffordshire, UK, for a look on how low wages in Britain. He found that the warehouse fulfillment workers who ran around Amazon's massive warehouse gathering products for delivery had toilet bottles. And my first thought after reading this article really was the breakdown on the gender line.
What do you mean?
Somebody just did some video online about like what it takes to do same day shipping. I wish I could remember who it was to give them credit for it, but I haven't watched it yet. But I'm guessing they left this part out of that's how they're able to do same day shipping, is they have their employees peeing in fucking bottles.
Well, like, and what I meant was, what I said was, I can see guys doing this, but were the women doing this? Were there no women on the floor like that? Like, I'm curious on how that breaks down.
I mean, they'd have to kind of go and walk around. Whose wee bottle is this? I mean,
they're going to do a genetic.
Do you really think they're going to do that, or do you think they're going to go and, you know, look at the CCTV footage?
Cameras. There's not cameras everywhere,
so they have CCTV in there.
Well, the other. The most interesting thing in the article said the bathroom's like four flights of steps down, which that surprised
me. Yeah, that's a little bit surprising.
Because you think you'd have it on the warehouse floor, that you'd have
like porta potties in there or some shit.
I mean, something.
Yeah.
So
they have bottles.
And they're saying there's targets. So you have to do so many targets per shift or you get in trouble.
Like bottles? You have to fill as many bottles.
Targets,
not filling your quota, sir.
Well, targets being so many orders filled within, you know, the end of the day.
Yeah, I understand.
And so they were saying, you know, but we'll get penalized. We go to the restroom, and you know, the typical.
I'm wondering what the implied language or what the implied situation was that got them to all think this. You know, because I doubt it was very explicit. Like, listen, we will shit can you if you take a piss. Or something even ridiculous, like you get one, you know, pee break per day kind of thing.
So it says you have
and you got to raise your hand. I mean, but
it says
did somebody just walk in and say, like, oh, it'd be a shame. It's a nice place. It'd be a shame if somebody had to take a piss here, you know? Like,
right. It says you have to pack 2 products per minute. Damn, that's insane. I, you know, I'm kind of curious, too. I bet it was some sort of low-level manager who was basically, you know, like you said, it would be a shame if something will happen to your job, you know, like some sort of like stereotypical gangster from the 50s.
Well, the 2 packages a minute thing, you know, I guess when you got to run down 4 flights of stairs, I mean, you got to now do 3 a minute for X amount of minutes, you know, that can add up pretty quickly. So
yeah,
Yeah, I mean, but there's no state designated breaks in these places, or I mean.
Oh, I'm sure there are. I mean, it's the UK. It's quite a socialized system.
I mean, if the United States of all countries, like as far as first world countries, has mandated break periods, I'd be really surprised if England didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a very surprising thing to me as well.
So, I got another article. So another one, this is off of the Blaze, but I thought it was hilarious. So the headline, what?
This thing's like falling. It's like,
oh, it's
not heavy.
So woman calls cops
Isn't the Blaze like some bullshit fucking news site or something?
It's
The Onion.
It's Glenn Beck's news network. I don't generally read it, but the headline made me laugh. Woman calls on cops on man playing with his kids at park because she was afraid of his pro-gun shirt. So it's one of these, you know, it's one of these pro-gun shirts that says, where is it? I have a picture on the article. Basically, it says, you know, if you have a problem with my gun rights, get lost or something like that. And I guess it says on Saturday, Blue Lives Matter reported that the man's shirt was not only upsetting the woman, but reportedly others in the vicinity as well. Troy Johnson was visiting...
Where was this again?
I don't remember. Oh, Texas. It was visiting a Benbrook, Texas playground with his two daughters to play in late March. Let's see. Where's the shirt? I figured I might get some comments or looks. Johnson told Blue Lives Matter, but I was legally exercising my first and Second Amendment rights. I just hilarious that somebody was so upset by a t-shirt. I used to wear a ton of pro-gun shirts, but...
Well, look, people are recreationally upset by anything they want to be upset by, you know, but, I'm always obviously gonna fall on the free speech side, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean... Why call on a t-shirt? I mean, is he...
called the cops.
I mean, who was the operator on that? What is the purpose of your phone call?
So she called on the police. She called the police and said there's a suspicious person who had a gun holstered to his chest wearing an offensive t-shirt to the cops. I'm just fascinated because I've never read a t-shirt ever and go, that's offensive. Unless it's overly graphic and it's an area with a lot of children. I don't consider guns graphic, but if it was like a girl with her boobs hanging out, I might say, hey, dude, you need a better choice of t-shirts.
Yeah.
Or those big Johnson shirts. But with a gun, it's in Texas.
No matter what the t-shirt, I've seen purposely offensive t-shirts, but my instinct isn't to call the cops.
Right? My whole thing would, if I was her, like, well, maybe I should visit a different, you know, I'll go somewhere else. I don't like this. Or
right. You're in a public place. You have no reasonable expectation that somebody has to abide by your fucking moral code.
Is she calling on people wearing the burkas? I mean, if you're going to call on ridiculous shit, call on everything.
It's just hilarious.
Racist.
Because I don't believe somebody called the cops on a t-shirt.
Well, no, call that time, James. You want to call that time if there's rapists.
Especially if they're doing out in the public.
You racist.
On a kid's playground.
Yeah. You don't want to let that one go.
Yeah.
It's almost like some guy taking a six-year-old to the Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
Something like that.
You gotta have
actually his six-year-old or someone else's.
It's gonna have a lot of questions of why that man was
just going down to the park. Hey, kid, do you want to go see Deadpool?
I just wish I heard the conversation about Daddy. Why was that woman in his underwear and he was on top of her for 45 minutes?
Which Deadpool did you watch?
Yeah, well, I'm exaggerating. It was like 5 or 10 minutes. When he had, you know, sex around
What Deadpool were you watching?
That's what I'm saying.
It's in the Deadpool movie.
Five or ten minutes.
It was like 5 minute scene.
You know how long 5 or 10 minutes is?
Yes, because I remember thinking, damn, isn't this scene over with? Let me see the killing and fun stuff.
Trinity's death.
Not Morena Baccarin being sexy? Are you fucking kidding me?
I wanted
that movie could have been about him and Morena Baccarin being sexy, and I'm all in.
I wanted more Deadpool. It's like, come on. I wanted to see. I went in there for death and dismemberment, not some chicken or underwear.
right.
Yeah, but that chick in her underwear was Miranda Picard, and so all's forgiven.
So did you guys know
that... As you can tell, I'm a fan.
Didn't notice.
You don't say. Wait, who are you a fan again?
Hey, ever since Firefly, man. Love that chick. She's hilarious.
Yeah, but she's the whore in Firefly.
No, she's a companion. That's what...
Her fucking, yeah, her and Mal's relationship was goddamn comedy.
Okay, so did you
And what's
know...
wrong with whores? You say that's like it's a bad thing. Some of my best friends are whores.
If you don't mind getting an STD for a living.
You're your own best friend?
I don't do that for a living anymore.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, you're paid to play with corpses.
They stopped. They were always stiffing them.
So, did you guys know today is or this month is Exotic Meat Month?
Exotic Meat
Month. Yes.
Still sounds like Ryan's former employment.
I just want to know what these hipsters are coming up with this shit for. But anyways, so in North Carolina, Bull City Burger and Brewery is making burgers with everything from alligator to iguana, python, bison, turtle, and insects.
Iguana sounds disgusting.
And one of their burgers that is $30, they do a pasture-raised beef burger topped with Gruyere cheese, chili sauce, and an oven-roasted tarantula.
Just sounds disgusting.
Whole. Legs, everything. Now,
I've seen the picture.
I'm into trying a bunch of different shit, but... I really don't want to have a tarantula with my burger for
no,
$30.
I had.
Ryan, would you try that?
No, I'm not really into that sort of thing. I was going to say I'm into, you know, whatever kind of exotic meat you can think of. You know, that's what I was trying to think of. Like, okay, well, it's not just venison because I don't really consider that an exotic meat.
Yeah,
I would
but like,
say.
I mean, are we talking baby seal exotic? Like, what's our line here?
Why don't you do baby seal things or some shit?
I would say
a tarantula.
I would say for most people, venison is an exotic meat just because it's not something nowadays. You don't have a whole lot of hunters.
True.
So I would say
you do.
Not. I'd say as far as the whole, the average person, I don't think we do like that.
I think the same amount of people that hunted 30 years ago is the same amount of people hunting today.
Yeah,
because you grew up in a household where hunting wasn't looked down on. And, you know, if anything, there's more people probably trying it from suburban lifestyle. See, the great thing about these days, and I'm not like, I'm definitely not one of those, like, oh, in the good old days are bullshit. There's actually a bullshit episode about it. It was great. But nowadays you have access to all these different types of things, you know, be it hobbies or lifestyles, you know, diets and things that you would only otherwise hear from your friends. Like you didn't look into blacksmithing. You either knew a guy who was a blacksmith and decided that would be fun, or that was it. You just never thought about it.
And my dad,
you know,
was
nowadays you can watch a YouTube
anymore.
Video. Sure, but that's whatever, you
well,
know.
I'm just
a lot
saying,
of people
you know,
don't
I
hunt
would,
when they get a little older.
I would say the average Joe Schmo out there has maybe had venison once. I don't really think there's that many people who are hunting who are at least sharing the meat. That would not be enough to be at least quasi exotic. Now, alligator definitely, iguana of course,
turtle,
emu,
turtle.
You know,
buffalo. Yeah, turtle,
well,
definitely turtle,
emu.
Yeah.
Well, emu burgers up in our area has been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
But we have emu farms nearby, so...
And people have been farming emu for a while, too. Yeah, that's the thing.
I still think it would classify, but yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely on the more common end. Now, turtle? I've never heard anything good about turtle.
Yeah, but, I mean, as far as, like, exotic, if you're going to a place... And they didn't say how much the turtle burger
was. Would you consider bear exotic? Because it's common, but not uncommon.
I would say
I'd consider bear on the exotic side of the chart.
I would say it's more exotic than not. But yeah, I'm into the same thing as Ryan. Like, get me some baby seal. Like, do something actually exotic. You know, I mean,
you two love
go
going
out
clubbing.
There and club it, tenderize the shit out of it, and bring it back and cook it. I mean, come on.
Come on, you really want killer whale?
No, too much mercury. I mean, that's just kind of where I draw the line. Is the mercury content? I mean, I eat sushi. That's got a lot of mercury in it.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't go with dolphin.
Yeah, dolphin too. I mean, Yeah.
So going to go from happy to sad news. Dude, Arlie Ermey died.
I know.
I know, man. It fucked my morning up, bro. My fucking boss told me, and I was like, not Gunny. Fuck, yeah. Dude. That sucked. That guy was awesome. He wasn't even that old. What was he, 75?
70-something. I actually got to meet him.
Did you really?
Yeah. So the old guy and I were out in the SHOT Show. I have an interview up on the Old Guy Tech's website. He was talking about, like, you know, riding steers as a kid, which I thought was hilarious, you know.
Yeah.
No, he was a cool guy. He said he really loved his job because he gets to shoot other people's ammo and he gets to shoot other people's guns and never has to clean them.
Right.
No, he was super chill.
Yeah,
that's the
best.
And he was a cool guy. Never heard anything bad about the guy. And the other thing is,
I guess I didn't realize he was an honorary gunnery sergeant. I guess he was a staff sergeant when he got out of the Marines.
Yeah. After
And I guess somewhere early 2000s, they made him an honorary gunnery sergeant.
Yeah. Based off of his role in Full Metal
Jacket
and just kind of the stuff he was doing along with that. Cause I mean, that became his kind of, his thing was the tough drill sergeant guy. So they,
was a drill sergeant.
Yeah.
But obviously you don't have to be a gunnery sergeant to be a drill sergeant.
Yeah, but they upped his rank.
But it's kind of, I figure like an honorary degree from, you know, Cornell or whatever. It's the same kind of thing for him.
Yeah, basically.
I was really bummed because I loved I didn't actually watch Full Metal Jacket till it was much, much later in my life, but I really liked his History Channel show Mail Call.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty cool show.
He did a bunch of cool stuff, and I was really bummed. And then Harry Anderson from Night Court dies at 65. Yeah. One of my favorite childhood shows.
Yeah. Do you guys haven't? I think we did talk about Night Court in the show.
It had John Larroquette and Marky Post.
Names. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Dude, I was like, there's been a ton of like cool celebrities. Like ones like I actually really like die, but Arlie Ermey kind of like fucked me. It was like, no.
Yeah, one of the most iconic roles in any movie is the boot camp section of Full Metal Jacket.
That's my favorite scene of the entire movie. I like the beginning more than anything
that's what
else.
Everybody says is like you watch Full Metal Jacket from start to beginning. The first time, and then after that, you watch until boot camp's over.
So there was a line on Facebook. There's a line on the movie talking about how Marines' job is to die, and they're basically like pictures of him with that quote. It's just like, dude, too soon.
I don't know. So I kind of sent Ryan a meme the other day that we did kind of have a discussion. Kind of about of what that we wanted to know the rules of it. The meme was just got fired from my job at the funeral home for inventing casket ball. Now we were kind of joking around that we wanted to know the rules of casket ball, and
is this like basketball or field hockey?
Well, I'm gonna get into it.
Or soccer.
So there actually is a thing called casket ball, and it does exist.
They didn't see your phone.
I know. All I'm trying to. There you go. See, there's shit on my phone. You see, I'm reading. Anyway,
well, it didn't take people long to come up with rules for basketball either. You know.
Yeah. Well, this one, it's kind of that they. I guess the origins of it were that two live people that really never got to settle the score. I guess it came up with it in North America, and the opponents would hurl 10 to 14 pound balls at each other. In an attempt to render them unconscious.
Damn.
And the rules of casketball are, the game of casketball is divided up into two 10-minute periods called doopies. And each deceased opponent must slide their casket on ice into a foam ball called a puck ball, which is then knocked into the net called the net.
Two deceased opponents?
Yep. The winner is the deceased player whose casket has netted the most balls.
Hilarious.
Now, I'm just wondering, were they like throwing these 10 to 14 pound balls at each other, not just to make the other person unconscious, but to kill them? And they fall in the casket and then they go. It's just kind of confusing rules.
I need some clarification there.
I mean, I guess the rule guys are dead, so they don't have clarification.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I kind of found that was an interesting casketball, and according to this thing, the recent famous casketball matchups are Walt Disney versus Adolf Hitler and Bob Hope versus Frank Sinatra.
Hilarious. So have any of you guys watched the new reboot on Netflix?
Of?
The reboot.
No, I haven't.
So I haven't seen
what?
It's actually called, the show's called Reboot.
It's called Reboot.
Oh.
Did you ever watch it when you were younger?
No.
No. I don't know if anyone even knows what it is.
It was one of the very first truly CGI television shows.
Yeah,
it was early CGI. So apparently, since at least my generation really loved it, apparently it's live action. It's basically a Power Rangers. So apparently these people find this from the video. I haven't had a chance to watch it. So apparently what happens is they find this room, like this download chamber or upload chamber. They go in there, uploads them into wherever this is, and shenanigans happen. So it's like
it's kind of a ripoff of Tron as well?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
the Matrix?
Pretty much.
And do I need to keep going, or we're just
going to... Keep going. Let's see how many you can name.
That's about as many as I got at the moment, but there's also, didn't they do kind of similar in, War Games?
War Games?
Oh, and the other one, The Gamer. They did that in The Gamer with Michael C. Hall.
Ready Player One.
There we go.
Yeah, but that Ready Player One, you weren't being downloaded into the server. It's pretty much having, you know, your...
Tron.
Well, Tron definitely Tron. Was.
Yeah.
So I was kind of bummed because I was looking forward to it until I heard there's any like remote live action stuff on it.
Yeah. Actually, the one that I did actually watch that is a not reboot, but it's another reboot, is Lost in Space.
Is it any good?
It actually is really good. I actually enjoy it.
So does it carry the campiness of the original or the more semi-serious tone of the movie that came out in the 90s?
It's not as serious as the movie, but it's not even remotely as campy as the original.
I heard Dr. Smith's a chick.
Yes, Dr. Smith is a chick. And the thing that I was actually surprised by, it's got Captain Flint from Black Sails, Toby Stevens. And I actually really like him.
I like that guy.
Yeah, I like him too. And he's actually doing a really great role in this. And I don't see any of the reflection of his role from Black Sails, which is... hard for some actors to do is to make a transition, but he's doing it really
well. Who's he playing?
He's playing the dad.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to have to check it out. It's on my list of stuff, but I'm too damn busy.
Yeah, I actually burned through all of it in like a day and a half. So.
How many episodes is it?
Like 9 or 13. It's not a very long. It's their normal. I think it's 13 episodes, but it's like.
You think it's going to get renewed?
I hope so. I think it will so far.
I'm going to have to check it.
I was, Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was a really big fan of the movie. I like the 60s series. But if Dr. Smith, and for some reason his name escapes me, wasn't as good as the guy who played it in the movie, he played Zurg.
The Dr. Smith in this one, whoever they picked, is actually doing a really good job on the role, I think.
Is she playing...
Wait, by the movie, do you mean the bullshit fucking...
Yep, the one with
Matt LeBlanc.
Not Chandler.
Matt LeBlanc, yeah.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc.
The guy who played Dr. Smith.
Yeah, Gary Oldman played Dr. Smith. Yeah.
That's Dr. Smith I really like. So if it wasn't as good as that
character... Well, because it's fucking Gary Oldman. He was the only decent thing in that movie.
But that movie the beginning of it had a more serious tone. That's why I was comparing it, because the original was so campy because of the era, it would be hard to take that one even remotely serious.
The thing I've really got to say is the star of the entire series to me...
Is it the kid?
...is what they did with the robot. What they did with the robot is actually really cool. I won't spoil it for any of you guys.
Really?
But you guys, I'm really impressed in what they developed the robot into in this one. So...
As far as I'm concerned, all the actors
do really well, except for one, but she's not a main character, and that's the only actress in the entire series that I think sucks. But she's not a major character.
I'm curious, do they leave Earth to, you know, to colonize a new planet like the movie, or are they just exploring?
They were in the process of getting to another planet that's being colonized. They kind of did the space station kind of...
So it's
midway type thing, and that's where
Okay. I don't remember what the 60s reason was.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But the 90s movie was, you know, the planet was dying. So yeah. That's, you know, blah, blah, shenanigans.
The planet is dying and overcrowded type thing. But
that's a ton of sci-fi. Yeah, so
it's not really a big, you know, drawback.
Big deal. Yeah. What were you saying, Ryan?
Oh, I was going to say there was another show that I was, that I had just kind of. I had scrolled past it a few times because I'm still a bit apprehensive on doing like the Amazon originals or the Hulu originals, that kind of stuff. I'm slowly kind of working my way in. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was fucking fantastic, and that was on Amazon.
I actually did that one too.
Yeah, it was fucking good, man. But the one that I had scrolled past a few times, I didn't really even give it a chance to kind of read what it was about. I just kind of whipped by it. It's a show called Patriot, and I heard somebody talking about it on another show I was listening to earlier, and I went on and I read the description, and I was going to try to talk my girlfriend into watching it after we're done with this thing.
Question,
but hold on, it's
I want to guess. Is it close to is it in between the Steven Seagal and Mel Gibson movies? With the same name?
No, that's why because that's the sort of the imagery that was evoked when I scrolled by Patriots. So I was like, eh, whatever. But the basically what it is a intelligence operative. I think it was in order to stop Iran from going nuclear. Yeah, in order to stop Iran from going nuclear, he goes on the knock list. And works at some fucking Midwestern, like pipe fucking firm or something like that. Like, he just starts, like, some middle-class Midwestern job, you know, presumably Indiana or some shit like that. While he's, you know, secretly trying to stop fucking, you know, presumably World War III, I suppose.
Why stop it? Why?
I actually haven't heard of that one.
I've heard of
neither had I, but it's gotten great reviews so far.
So talk,
we're going to check it out.
So talk about stuff like that. What do you think about Netflix being banned from competing at Cannes and similar festivals because they're not releasing their films to theaters?
I think that's bullshit. I really do.
Well, yeah, because I guess when people go to film festivals like that, the idea is to get it sold to a studio who's going to then distribute it either into theaters or DVD or et cetera. I guess without that, what's the point? You know, I mean, if you're your own distribution thing and you're just going to show up and win all the awards, I mean, I could understand them obviously being accepted for Emmys and Oscars and those types of awards, SAG awards. Directors Guild, Writers Guild.
It does seem like you're pissing up a rope
a little
bit,
festivals,
though.
But the film festivals are for, you know, like the independent filmmakers who are trying to get their film sold. I mean, the way I understand film festivals, I mean, if there's some other weird reason that they didn't want them in there, then I get it. But it's not your average award show. You know what I'm saying? Film festivals are like, hey, look, we did this thing for like a couple million bucks. Hopefully we win some awards here so we can get some distribution.
Oh, no, totally. I mean, it's like it's for places like our friends at Shunk Films who did A Girl and a Gun and The Cell type of thing. But I think it's weird that because I think it's you're kind of pissing up a rope because pretty much as I hate to say it, theaters, I think at some point in time are going to become niche products, a niche experience.
No, they've fucking Marvel Studios has seen to it that will never happen.
I think at some point in time, it's going to be a little bit of a more limited experience because pretty much Quentin Tarantino is right. I mean, right now going to the theater is like watching TV at home. You've got $15 popcorn, $20 tickets. I can do all that
but
at
certain,
home.
Certain things are either a communal experience, you know what I mean? Like horror movies, people still like to kind of go and see in a crowd and have that experience along with it.
No, put them in a cell.
So here's my thought, you know, like James and I kids and your kids, unfortunately, at some point in time are going to get the experience of watching more movies at home. And what about that? You know, what about the next generation?
Dude, I've been watching movies at home my fucking whole life, and I'll still go to the movies if it's some big tentpole thing. You know, I went and saw King Kong in the theater because I want to see that big. I don't have a fucking 14-foot screen in my house.
I don't know. I do think the theater is going to be around. I do think the paradigm shift is with Netflix and is companies like that. Disney being an old school, I can totally see them releasing to the theaters, but I think the theaters are going to be having some major competition.
I think what the competition mostly is in network television. You know what I mean? It's ABC is going to be fine, but as far as people consuming their content from like an actual television appointment viewing, that's gone.
Oh yeah. I mean, time shifting and DVRs have definitely
changed.
Oh, we have
to be at home at 6 o'clock because it's must-see TV fucking Thursdays. That is, people would laugh at you as you say like, oh, were you watching in front of your TV at 8 o'clock when that thing aired? And be like, no, what are you talking about? I'm going to watch it later on tonight, probably like at 11 o'clock.
They've been doing that for a long time with TiVo. I mean, and all that other shit.
Right.
I do think theaters
are mostly for TV though.
Excuse me. I don't know. I do think theaters are going to be having issues. Now, I don't think it's a good thing. Just because the benefit about going to the theaters is there's less distraction. It's a better way to view the art form of movies and cinema versus being at home. Because I have to, you know, if I'm at home and something's happening, I got to pause it, got to get up, go back. But
are you talking as far as it becoming an issue? Are you talking like 10, 20 years from now? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I mean, not the immediate future, but I think sometime in my child's lifetime, theaters may be going away to some degree.
Nah, no fucking way. I mean, just the simple fact that plays, I mean, something that's been a thing since, you know, stage plays have been a thing for hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands of years.
What's the last time you went to a play?
Definitely thousands of years, actually. I mean, people still go to see the theater. It's not some dead art form.
But it's niche. It's a niche art
form. No, I mean, no, it's not. Are you fucking kidding me?
When's the last time you went to a play?
Everybody in the world wants to see Brooklyn or Hamilton. Do you think I can afford fucking Hamilton tickets?
Well, no, I meant anything. When's the last time you went to a play? But doesn't have to be Broadway.
But I think John's got a good point. I think as far as it's going to be concerned, I mean, when was the last time ticket prices were under $10? And now you're bringing up, like, you think I can afford to go to see a play? Do you think ticket prices are going to go below 15 again?
It's really going to have to be a value proposition.
Well, they're about 14, 15 now, but also a lot of these theaters are throwing in the lazy boy seats.
Yeah,
bring the food to your seat so you don't even have to get up.
But I think that's them realizing that their type of business is on the end of not being as common as it was.
Well, here's the reason why. Like when I was a kid, it's, you know, $5-$8 for a ticket, and for four people, it was a cheap afternoon. Now, if you have a family of four, you're spending $100 almost anywhere between, I'd say, $50 to $80.
$5 or $6 a ticket. That was for matinees.
I think what it is the value proposition isn't there anymore. That's why I do think they changed the seating. That's why I think they've started doing dinner theater in theaters more, because they're losing ticket sales. Now, people are going to go to Marvel and going to go to that, but I do think eventually they're going to have to figure out a better value proposition. Now, a lot of people have thought about, okay, for that $15 per ticket, you also get an ability to watch it online. Or what else can you do? Because I do think they're going to start struggling.
I think they already are struggling.
I think people are always going to watch movies, and you might see some ebbs and flows when it comes to ticket sales or things like that. But people are always going to meet up and go to the theater, and they'll survive enough. There might not be as many screens or as many things or the big giant, you know, Googleplexes and things like that, but it's still something that people want to do on a Friday night, you know?
But
let's go see a movie.
But I'm thinking like 10, 20 years from now, I think that the theaters have realized that their ticket sales have gone down in the past, I'd say 10, 15 years. And that's why a lot of studios are also releasing DVD releases a lot sooner than they used to be. I think,
Kids,
when we were kids, a movie was in the theaters for 6 to 8 months, and you didn't get the VHS release for like a year or two.
I think
now, it depends on the movie.
The DVD or Blu-ray release within 5 months, or if not sooner.
I've literally seen them in movies that did poorly. There was that, what was it? It was that whale movie that came out, the Whale's Tale or Water Tale or something like that. Literally, it was in theaters.
Shape of Water?
Something like that. It was with the guy who played Thor, I think.
Shape of Water?
It was one of these movies that it did so poorly.
Wait, you're talking about In the Heart of the Sea.
Yes. Oh. It was literally in theaters 1 week, and the next week it was in Walmart for sale for like $10.
Here's the funny thing. I fucking like that movie a lot.
I want to see it. I just don't have time. My list is getting bigger.
It's fucking good, man. That was a fucking good movie. I even talked to Gal into watching it, and she dug it.
I think...
Yeah, she liked it.
I think what's going to happen is they're going to be more like theaters and plays, is the fact it's something people do see, but I don't think it's going to be as common. I do think people's entertainment, and people in the future may not even, watch on their giant screen TV as much, because I know a ton of people who watch content just on their cell phones or tablets.
Yeah.
I think
those people are called dumbasses.
I think what it is
the only reason I stay home is because I got a goddamn big ass TV and it's in 4K.
I think
but there's still things that I'm like, no, I want to see Avengers Infinity War in the fucking theater,
I think it's a paradigm shift. I just think what's going to happen is it's just a shift in the way people do things. No, I hope theaters are still around. I think
they're going to adapt quite well. I think they're going to see where the ball is headed, and they're going to get in front of it, and they're going to be there to catch it when they're going to stay viable.
Now, what really interests me is, are they going to stop with doing, nonstop Avengers movies? Because I know a ton of people
who
are tired of nonstop superhero movies.
Well, they don't have to go to the theater, but trust me, they're going to make their money. And they have the plan worked out for the Marvel Universe for like the next 20 years, dude. Mm-hmm.
No, I know. I'm just wondering, because there doesn't seem to be, and I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of reviews, I don't see a lot of original content still. I want more original
movies. You got stuff like The Shape of Water and the Three Billboards of Ebbing, Missouri. And I mean, those are all, I'm sure based off of novels or what have you, like they always are, but I mean, that's the thing, is that hardly anything under the sun is new anymore. I mean, even back when we were kids, you just didn't know it was based off of some high, best-selling novel or something like that. Shawshank. I mean, we called that an original movie. It was a book.
It was actually a novelette.
All kinds of things.
It was a short story.
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It was pages that had words on it that told the story.
Well, nothing is new, but I think what it comes from is I'm tired of superhero movies. I want something different. Like, you would never find, like, say, example, when I was a kid, I loved Driving Miss Daisy. You would never see that in the theaters now, because it probably wouldn't make as much money versus why spend the money to invest in that when you can spend, that, make a Marvel movie and make quadruple your money back worldwide.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, is that nowadays it seems like these studios, and obviously I'm just fucking armchair quarterback and or commentating here. It seems like these studios they're making these big giant movies. They're doing Avengers. Well, one, because people want to see the shit, regardless of if a few people are like, I'm tired of it. You motherfuckers will come back around. You watch. But they're doing it so this thing makes $300 billion. And then they're able to make something like Three Billboards, with Frances McDormand, who's an amazing actress, but, is not going to get the kind of air time. It's not going to be in the theater for 4 weeks on end. It's going to have a pretty limited run, win all the awards, and then people will catch it on DVD later.
Avengers is
people still do watch real movies.
Avengers are pretty much the Call of Duty of movies. I mean, they release them every year, and most people are going to play it or buy it, but it's always going to be like, it was entertaining. But
most people are going to play it or buy it because they're good.
I don't know. Okay, I don't like the Call of Duty games because they're so derivative, but Corsair Avenger movies, really?
Well, I don't like them because they're not derivative. They're just repetitive. It's just it's the same thing over and over again. And I don't understand how people can play those things for years and years. You know, I get tired of running through the same maps over and over again. But
I would say, though,
you know, we're not talking about a story narrative like Fallout or The Elder Scrolls. I'll fucking play those games as long as they keep making them.
See, yeah, Fallout doesn't really have that deep of a story narrative versus it's the ambiance and
the
atmosphere.
Well, it's sort of a sandbox.
Yeah, but I mean, it's you're going there because it's a post-apocalyptic world, and everybody loves a post-apocalyptic world that they can visit and then go home and go.
No, but it is a narrative, though. But it's a narrative that partly you're creating in your own mind. You know what I mean? It gives you enough of a framework where you can sort of interpret these decisions based off of your own personality, so you're the main character in the story.
True.
You know, and there's certain games like the Far Cry series. You are a character. You have a specific goal. There's a specific, you know, end to that goal, and that's what you're doing. You know, like, you don't have the choices like you do, or, hey, I'm going to play this like a nice guy. I'm going to play this like an asshole. I mean, I've read stories about people who literally never killed anybody in Fallout 4.
I'm not quite sure how you do that.
What?
Exactly. They took a complete pacifist approach.
How long did it take them to beat the game? That's all I want to know, because that must have taken them forever.
Probably a lot of saving and going back and redoing dialogue.
So, have you seen the new Tomb Raider movie?
I have not,
but I really want to, though.
Oh, man, I've been dying to see it, and it's one of those things that I can't get away on the weekends anymore.
Is it out in the theaters right now?
Yeah. As far as I know, I thought it was.
No shit. Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't looked at my theater fucking schedule in a while. I don't know what's that anymore.
Because I really want to see it. I mean, because that's one of the few movies I say in the last year that was on my list of things, just because I want to see a good female lead who's not the stereotype. Like, the Angelina Jolie was the typical, oh, it's an attractive woman with big boobs and action, you know, very thin character or none at all. So I'm... When with the reboot of the Tomb Raider games, she's an actual character. So I'm really excited and jonesing for a really decent female lead. That's why I liked Wonder Woman so much, because you actually had a pretty decent main character.
You just have a crush on Israelis.
That helps. But I was really impressed with Wonder Woman. I mean, it wasn't what I was expecting. You had a strong female.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that flick too.
But, you know, it wasn't my favorite of the ones that's come out. But,
yeah, but I mean, you had a strong female character who wasn't necessarily stereotypical. Her outfit is, but that's the comic book.
That they went more of the not kid Wonder Woman experience type thing. So
yeah.
That's kind of what I...
You know, they did some of the comic book cliches, but they actually had her be a badass. Like, she's presented a little bit in modern media. Like, the stereotypical one was, you know, you bind her wrists, and no, she's a helpless damsel. There was none of that.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely, I mean, come on, I mean, in this day and age, there's no way somebody's going to even pitch that in the fucking writer's room. But, Wonder Woman, I mean, yeah, there's been a huge shift lately, you know, especially the last, call it, 5, 6, 7 years of these incredibly strong women characters. I mean, you know, look, a lot of women would argue, like, oh, she's only strong because she's out there killing people and doing all the man stuff. Like, okay, granted, you know what I mean? You have something like Atomic Blonde. It's like, all right, now we're watching a chick kick some ass. But I mean, it still is that. I mean, you know, regardless of...
That's an interesting narrative.
I mean, like a guy just, you know, doing... You know, raising his kids well, that's not an interesting fucking story unless it's really funny. So, yes, a strong woman character, it still needs to be an interesting story. And interesting stories to us are, you know, hey, let's blow some shit up.
I think that's an interesting narrative that the only way they think a strong female character can be strong would not by doing, you know, like they're saying basically killing is a masculine thing. That's an interesting narrative for a movie to go for anybody to take it.
But do you bleed?
Jeez.
You will.
No, I got it. I just refused to answer. I just find it fascinating. That's a really interesting way to take it. I would have never thought that somebody would have said that.
Really?
The only thing that I'm not really a fan of right now, as far as strong female leads, is they're talking about making the next Indiana Jones a woman. Now, here's my take, and I don't mean
I thought they just did with Tomb Raider.
Well, but
exactly.
Here's the
I agree.
I heard they want to reboot it. So if it's a true reboot of Indiana Jones, I'm 100% against it because I'm kind of a purist to the character. Now, if it becomes his daughter or a student or something, like completely remove the fourth one, I'm
you know
cool
what
with
though
that.
I was watching this thing the other day about comic books. It was basically kind of like a Superman, you know, sort of where it came from, and they've actually basically the point that I'm trying to get to. They've actually had to reboot these things many times because when you have so much knowledge about a particular character and so much canon, I mean, over damn near 100 years. I mean, we're talking 80 years, some odd, for Batman and Superman. Maybe a little.
Longer
so
I think the medium
longer on Superman, but you have this long period of time with these superheroes, so you can't just say, hey, what was true in the 40s is still true in 2018. You have to kind of like, okay, look, that's this chunk of Superman, you know, up until like the 70s or the 80s, and then they rebooted it, and then now that's that chunk of Superman, and now they're going to reboot it, and there's the new 52. And, you know, they did the same thing with Batman, where they kind of, not threw out the old canon, but they retired it as far as the new storytelling.
I think the difference is...
So I understand, okay, you can't do Harrison Ford. Here's what I'd be really pissed for. If they replaced Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones and said, hey, this is your new Indy.
Yeah.
I'm actually fine with them just rebooting the character. Hey, here's a woman, this is a new thing. Her name is Indiana Jones because whatever, it was the dog's name.
I don't like that. I want it to be a male character because honestly, if Jennifer Lawrence was the new Indiana Jones, I'd be irritated. Versus, when they reboot Superman, Superman's still a guy. Just because that's just the purest I am to the story. Now, I want a reason.
But that's my point is you can still be a purist to the old Indiana Jones. I mean, are you a purist to fucking Crystal Skull? Because I don't even consider that as part of the fucking story.
No, I'm talking about the trilogy. The fourth one should have never been made.
So you're not really a purist either. You know what I mean? If you want to be a purist to 1, 2, and 3 like I am and like James is, and I'm sure like America is, then fine. Jump on the bandwagon with us.
So here's a question. If Jennifer Lawrence, or like as she's still the hot Hollywood actress, was going to be declared the new Indiana Jones, would you see it?
Sure.
100% reboot. And it's done in...
Yeah, 100% reboot. I'll watch it.
And it was done in 2018. No 1930s. That's done.
Yeah. Oh, well... Because
it's a reboot. Why would you do it in the
30s? Because to me, it's the quintessential time for sort of the archaeology, excavation. Everything was still kind of mysterious.
But it's
a
reboot.
You know, now we know too much. There's a lot of technology. But it doesn't matter.
It's a reboot, so they're gonna go away from now. Probably what they're gonna do is they're probably gonna do
not
it in the
necessarily.
30s. They're probably gonna go.
They rebooted Murder on the Orient Express. They took place in the whatever fucking time period that was.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I'm more cool with them doing
that
it
example.
More like
it wasn't that good of a movie.
Really?
I haven't seen it.
Sucks. I really wanted more of like the reboot of Indy being a guy. Kind of treat it like they did James Bond.
But you've seen that movie though.
Yes, I just like I said, I'm an obnoxiously purist when it comes to the source material. They never made Superman a woman. They made Supergirl.
Yeah, they made Wonder Woman.
They never made
Thor a
woman.
When they redid the new 52, I think Thor's a woman now.
Well,
gender swapped a few characters.
No, what happened is Thor didn't become a woman. He lost his powers, became who he truly who his original name, and the Thor power was actually transferred to a different person, which allegedly was
okay.
His
well, there you go.
Natalie.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember her name, but I think that was the actress who played her.
Yeah, Natalie Portman is.
See, that's why I'm like, if it was somehow related to Indy or I don't know, something. I want a passing of a torch. But, you know, like I said, I know.
Well,
what
would be the difference, though?
It would matter
more
to me.
You know, the way we were all introduced to Indiana Jones was, you know, I mean, it was actually one of the greatest fucking character reveals of all time. I mean, when he's running through the thing, and then he comes out of the thing, and then he looks up, and his hat kind of reveals his face.
Oh.
If we had that same moment and it was a chick and she had just done some badass, hey, let's go find a fucking thing, you'd be in just as well.
Yeah, like, I actually kind of agree with James and you. It's Tomb Raider. I mean, realistically, they can do it. I mean, I'm just a purist just because of how much I like the original movies. I mean, I totally admit it. I know I'm not the majority on this. I really do. Most people don't care just, as much as I do.
I think it is Tomb Raider. I think if they really want to redo Indiana Jones, they have to do like what Ryan said, where they freaking nail it off the bat. Or they're going to have
because Indiana Jones nailed it. Yeah. You know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, the reason that we love it, because they fucking nailed that movie.
I don't think...
You give me another good adventure movie and I'm in all that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're going to be able to do that, though, for a couple of reasons. For one, Indiana Jones was kind of a throwback to those style movies in the 30s and 40s anyways. But I think what it is we have such high expectations of it. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm a big fan and a movie buff. I think it would be really hard to pull off, because look at all the crap people are still saying about Star Wars. And those are the hardcore fans.
Look at all the crap that they're still saying about Crystal Skull.
See, here's the thing is, I actually don't think it'd be that difficult. I think with the original, with Crystal Skull, like James was just saying, they jumped the shark there because they didn't know where to go with the character. You got old Indiana Jones, so okay, we have to have some new kid to make this sort of viable. And the movie ended up kind of sucking some assholes.
No, I think what
with
it
this
was...
one, okay, we're back to young characters, and it's not that fucking hard to make a good adventure movie. It's really not.
I think, honestly, what it was is it was supposed to be the beginning of a new trilogy. I actually think it was supposed to be a passing of the torch. What they didn't realize is, A, the movie was cheesy as hell, and B, how many people dislike Shia LaBeouf.
Definitely not any River Phoenix.
I would actually be for a reboot of the young Indiana Jones. Make that a live action.
Oh, man, River Phoenix would be
really
dope.
I really think that's what they were trying to do with the one throwback, like kind of history scene where they had River Phoenix. And, you know, I think that his death kind of threw that under the bus.
Well, they did have the Chronicles of the Young Indiana Jones?
That was shit.
I liked it at the time.
That was shit.
I liked it at the time. I haven't seen it since.
Yeah.
Like I said, at the time it came out, I liked it, but yeah, I haven't seen it since.
It's like watching The Goonies again. If you go watch it, you'll be upset.
Probably.
Because it sucked the first time.
Yeah, you will be.
Suck again.
So, well, I don't know. We'll see. Of course, you know, I was excited about the new Mummy movie until I realized what they were doing, and I disliked it.
And I actually watched it, and I tried, and just... Eh.
The biggest problem with me is the image I have of it. To me, Indiana Jones will always be Harrison Ford, because it's not a character that's been played by different people. That's the issue. It's a problem with me.
But that's the same thing. I mean, Batman wasn't played by anybody else until Michael Keaton did it. You know what I mean? I'm sure there was people at the time like, how dare you replace Adam West?
I don't know anybody who at the time who actually complained about that because of how campy it was. I think more people are like, why
but
are they making
it? Can
a...
be.
I think more people for that movie
totally
were like,
can be
why
one
were
of
they
those
making
characters
another Batman?
It becomes like a... But it can become one of those characters that's like a Batman or a James Bond or somebody. There's always going to be a new character. We can years, and things like that.
We'll
so.
See. I mean, hey, I wish them luck. I'll see it just to see how big of a muster cluck it is. I mean, I'm hoping it's good. I'll go into it with no expectations, hopefully, instead of like panning it. I want it to do well just because I love those style adventures movies, and that's not really what they do anymore.
Yeah. I don't see them doing
it. Yeah, I know. It's not a genre that gets enough going on.
I mean, even like Die Hard, which I even consider on the edge of an adventure film, they don't do anymore.
Well, I'm talking about like a good treasure hunt movie, you know?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I completely agree. They don't do anything like that.
Well, they tried with National Treasure.
The first one was good.
Yeah.
The second one was ridiculous. On top of an already ridiculous plot, I mean, the first one, they somehow topped it to make it even worse. Yeah. Which I'm not quite sure how you do that. I mean,
that's the Disney version. I mean, just like, hey, kids, look, adventure.
Well, technically, Disney owns Indiana Jones. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but Indiana Jones wasn't really, I mean, you know, definitely liked it as a kid, and it wasn't really it could be considered a kid's movie, like a PG fucking fun for the whole family kind of thing, yeah.
I saw Last Crusades in the theater, so.
The Outlaw Josie Wales is PG.
Well, good point.
I'm not making it up.
No, I think
PG had a different meaning back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a rape scene with tit.
Hell, but, well, what was it? The Transformers movies, PG. For one word.
Piece of garbage.
Yeah, I like Orson Welles. I'm looking forward to see what they do next, though, because I want them to do something. And if I have to force myself to like an Indiana Jones to get a good adventure film like that, I'll do it. That's why I want to see Tomb Raider, because
me too.
Because I'm invested into the new games, because I love the new character. I love the way they made her look. She looks like a real person. She has some weakness to her, which I totally dig a character having to overstep her weakness.
I love I love the sort of reluctant call to adventure kind of thing. Like, fuck, I really don't want to do this, but whatever, I got to it done.
Yeah, and she's not on Instagib. She has some vulnerabilities. So you have some, you know, something to grab a hold of and say, come on, you can do it. You can do it versus, you know, like the original Tomb Raider movies, she was, you know, invincible and you knew it. There was no weaknesses. I mean, they tried to feign it a little bit, but it wasn't played off that well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it was those first ones were bloody embarrassing movies.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, the Mad Trio, thanks you for watching.
Goodbye.